The Athletic.
It's the Totally Football Show European Edition. Today, Napoli fans on Vesuvius working themselves into a lava. Liga, when the going gets tough, who did Getafe get? France, Toulouse managed to win in Paris, and Paris managed to lose. And Germany, Dortmund's unspotted spot kick, and why at least three Dusseldorf games will be 4-0 next season. It's the Totally Football Show. Tuesday, 2nd of May. Listener, thank you for being with us on whatever day you've picked to enjoy the talents of Julian Laurent, Alvaro Romeo, Raphael Honigstein, and James Horncastle. All their Euro expertise. Woof. Have you been? I've been away a bit, haven't I, Alvaro?
Yeah, we haven't really missed you. No, I'm kidding. We have missed you. It's not
No, because Matt did a fantastic job.
He did really good.
I enjoyed those shows.
Did you? Did you really listen to
them? I did.
No, you did.
I did.
What was Raph's moment of the week?
Even Raph knows what his moment of the week was. It was
James always listens to himself back.
Yeah. True. It's very important.
Mark of a true pro.
That's true.
How
were the strong men? Were they good?
You know what, Jules? They were strong. It was an extraordinary competition. And if you want to know the results, they're out there. I wouldn't take it upon myself to spoil it for anyone who's going to be watching it.
But you know
Christmas.
That, really. It's like if you go into a TV reality show, you can't reveal now who's the winner.
No, I'm not going to reveal now.
Like anyone who's been sacked by Chelsea or Spurs, they can't talk about it.
Or Leeds.
Right, yeah. And it was great. I mean, I look forward to sharing it with everyone at Christmas. Super. But let's return to this week. Listen, I've got to say, we're doing this without headphones and it feels funny.
It doesn't feel like a podcast.
It doesn't.
No.
Feels just like a chat.
Exactly, yeah. Between friends.
And I'm uncomfortable with that. Let's get some moments of the week.
I knew that was coming.
So, Rafa, let's have your
James.
Moment of the week.
Right. Check phone.
This is an easy one this week. Bochum, Friday night, 65th minute. Cross is coming in from Julian Brandt. Karim Adeyemi is trying to get there. Danilo Soares is trying to get there. None of them get there. It's a pen. Oh, no, it's not. Referee has seen nothing at all. Neither have VAR. Huge controversy in Germany because Dortmund only go on to draw 1-1, which then opens the door for Bayern to take back the lead on Sunday, which they do. And this leads to all sorts of really unseemly things, death threats to the referee. Watzke had to release, Hans-Joachim Watzke, the Dortmund CEO, had to release a statement saying, please, refrain from this kind of abuse. Big discussion, German FA coming out explaining why the decision was wrong. He came out explaining why the decision was wrong.
The referee,
talking about sleepless nights. And of course, sleepless nights might ultimately be what happens to Dortmund, because if they don't go on to win the league, then this could be one of those crucial moments.
Indeed, 1 point behind Bayern now with 4 games to go. I'm sure we'll touch on that again, but it was an egregious error, though. Adeyemi went absolutely flying after he got clattered there. But anyway, more on that to come. Alvaro, your moment of the weekend.
It has to be this time. I mean, there have been many, but since we're going to talk about many of them in depth, I think that Girona just beating Sevilla is one of those, because not only they inflicted Mendilibar his first defeat as Sevilla manager, but also it's the way Girona is doing it. Last week, they beat Real Madrid, scoring 4 goals. Tati Castellanos scored what we say a poker of goals. And then they went to Sevilla and they got another win. And this is a side that is still ready or in the position to be able to qualify for Europe for the next season, considering that they just got promoted 12 months ago. It's very impressive. And just the way they are doing it in a competition like La Liga, with plenty of tactical teams, sometimes a little bit cynical when it comes to attacking and all that, it's very refreshing to see a side like Girona that has scored already 50 goals and they are attacking so much in every pitch, and in every ground in La Liga. They drew with Barcelona not long ago, so congratulations to them. They've got 44 points, 50 goals scored, and they are not far from Conference League position. So congratulations to them and to Mitchell, especially the manager.
Eighth spot. Fashion week.
Fashion week.
No, the other Mitchell.
No.
The other, yeah.
There's another one.
Yeah, Mitchell. That Mitchell was the coach of Olympiacos.
Yeah.
Until 2 months ago, but this Mitchell has been in Girona for 2 years now.
Oh, okay. Ah,
yeah, it's another Mitchell.
Right.
It's quite a common name anyway.
The Mitchell brothers.
Yeah. So they are eighth, and they are... What would they need to get into the conference, Lee?
They would need to be seventh, unless Osasuna wins the Spanish Cup.
So they're only 3 points off conference. Wow. Jules.
So many listeners have asked for this moment of the week, which is the Kylian Mbappé goal, of course, on Sunday. Against
Lorient. How many listeners wrote in to us for that?
Yeah, loads. I had loads of messages saying, surely that's the moment of the week. They must have been watching. I don't know why they were watching this terrible PSG team, because they're really not good.
Mbappé réclame un penalty, il y a but! Oh, le but pour Kylian Mbappé! Alors que le jeu, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé? C'est la relance d'Mbogo. Regardez le ralenti, mais il y a bien but. Paris, les Lorientais sont furieux. L'égalisation parisienne dans la confusion la plus totale. Tous les Lorientais se ruent.
Crazy moment, really, because even Mbogo, the Lorient goalkeeper, has the ball in his hands after a PSG attack. He thinks that the referee has given a free kick for Lorient, like the whole Lorient defense, to be fair. So he put the ball on the floor to take the free kick, except that the referee said that he didn't give anything. So Mbappé just takes the ball and scores in an empty net just there in front of him. It's a ridiculous goal to concede and to score, to be fair, considering all the goals that Mbappé has scored in his career. It's even worse to know that that's the only goal PSG scored. And it was gifted clearly by Lorient and by their goalkeeper, who still went on to win the game and was so good and so much better than this dreadful PSG team.
Mm. Yeah, more on that to come. James, Serie A.
The former electrician who turned the power off Napoli's title celebrations. Boulaydia.
Paris Born and Bred.
Paris Born and Bred.
La mano de Dia.
Well, that was the meme afterwards.
He stripped them of their lead.
He did, yeah. But no, a lot of people referencing Estata la mano di Dio, was the hand of God. Instead, it was the hand of Dia that stopped Napoli celebrating their first title in 33 years. Strange atmosphere, because people are like, disappointed. Are they bottling it? Well, I mean, they could have won the league with 6 games to spare, which has never happened before. So I'm sure they can wait. And I like Spalletti's way of explaining it afterwards. He's saying, just means we get to prolong the enjoyment that little bit longer.
That's the best bit, you feel.
Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification. Yeah, the tantric title celebrations. But Salernitana, on their way home, because obviously this was a Campania derby, they were welcomed as if they had won the league. Paolo Sousa doing a great job there. They've only lost one the 10 games that he's been in
his
charge.
His first one and 9 unbeaten since.
Yeah, they've taken points off Milan and Inter at San Siro. They've obviously got a point at the Maradona as well. So, this time last year we were talking about Salernitana having to pull off the great escape. This time, no great escape is necessary because of the job that Sousa has done. So, there you have it.
Napoli, meanwhile, 1 win in 5. Can they creep over the line? We shall see. Thursday night, they're away in Udine.
The Slovenian border, as far away as Naples as you can possibly get in Serie A, in the cold.
Is that the further trip?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Although, there is...
Salernitana at Udinese would be technically further, but for Napoli.
For Napoli, yes.
For Napoli.
Yeah. Right, okay. Wow. After all of that, let's get started with the Bundesliga.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network and sponsored by LiveScoreBet. You can get the latest football betting odds at livescorebet.com. It's over 18s only. Please bet responsibly and be gambleaware.org.
Auf Brandt in den Strafraum. Brandt auf Adeyemi. Der fällt. Das muss Elfmeter geben. Es geht offenbar weiter mit Abstoß. Also es ist eine Berührung da vom Abwehrspieler. Unten am Bein von Adeyemi.
Well, there it is, Rafa. The controversial moment when referee Sascha Stegemann failed to spot a blatant foul on Adeyemi and then failed to go over and... Well, he wasn't invited by the VAR officials to go and review the decision, sparking enormous controversy as the lead switches again in the Bundesliga. That's, 5 of the last 6 match days, the team that started on top of the table dropped points. And we have this flip-flopping back and forth. You've spoken a little bit about this 1-1 with Borkum, which is terrific for Borkum, of course. What about Bayern? How did they respond?
They got a win, the first win after 4 games at home to Hertha. It was a laboured performance, You might be generous and call it very controlled because they had, I think, 80% of the ball. Hertha didn't really have a shot. Bayern played and played and played and played and played until with 20 minutes from time they found the breakthrough. Some really nice work from Joshua Kimmich, lovely little dink ball over the top, which he specializes in, for Serge Gnabry to head in. And then a very similar goal for Kingsley Coman to make it 2. Another nice assist from Kimmich. So they stopped the bleed, as it were, but it still wasn't anywhere near the kind of Bayern that we expected, we thought we would see this season, especially with Thomas Tuchel coming in. Tuchel again spoke about the lack of confidence in the team, and it felt almost as if he'd given them the most simple instructions, you know, just go wide, try to find somebody in the box, because that's basically all they did. And it wasn't very nice to watch, because Hertha had like 9 men behind the ball. But they got it done. And now I think that might be the start of a bit of normalcy and normal service resuming with Bayern.
Really?
Finding the confidence to then go on. But you don't know, because as you said, teams at the top have really suffered in recent weeks.
And Tuchel's been there 8 games. That's only his 3rd win. So 1 point, 4 matches to go, Rafa. Who does the calendar favour?
Well, Bayern. I think they have a slightly easier fixture list.
Mm.
Dortmund have Wolfsburg and Mainz still to play, 2 informed teams. Bayern have Leipzig. That's going to be the hardest, but the other games you'd expect them to win, although Schalke is going to be pretty decent opposition with their resurgent form at the moment. So, yeah, Bayern are favourites anyway before the ball is kicked. Now that they're top with 4 games to go, I think it would be seen as a pretty dramatic collapse, having been allowed back in by Dortmund if they were to throw it away now.
Tuchel did our friend Archie Rinter well dirty after the game as well, man.
It was quite funny, though.
It was really fun, but you know, like he's still off air saying like, "Oh, I love your jacket. I've got the same one." On air, no, I don't have anything like that. I would never say that.
It was actually. You should have asked Julian Nagelsmann. He might have something.
Yeah.
Nagelsmann would have, you know, I think would have admitted, yeah, this is what the kind of shit I wear. Yeah.
I take my hat off to him. He's a great icebreaker.
Like, it was amazing.
He has a wardrobe of loud bomber jackets.
He always wears them.
Do you know anyone else who does that?
And it means they talk to him.
He was brilliant. What a legend. Yeah. Archie is a legend.
Now, Schalke, you mentioned, who are coming up for Bayern. They're currently in the bottom 2, desperately battling for survival. They're only a point from safety. Bochum just ahead of them, who are level on goal difference with Stuttgart. Lots of those teams, well, Stuttgart certainly are involved in the Pokal semi-finals midweek, Rafa. They're taking on Eintracht Frankfurt. The other game, pretty interesting, on Tuesday evening, Freiburg against Leipzig, who are also locked in a battle for top 4 spaces.
And we'll play each other on Saturday.
Oof.
And, of course, play each other in the cup final.
Right.
So a bit of a history brewing. You couldn't have more extreme versions of clubs at opposite poles in the Bundesliga. Freiburg, run by the members, very small city. Streich has been there forever. They're punching way above their weight yet again. They might make the Champions League for the first time ever. They might make it to the German Cup final for a second time. Incredible. And Leipzig, you know, much hated for a business model that is unlike any others, a corporation setting up a club, pumping money in, the opposite of being a traditional side. And it's a miracle, I would say, that Freiburg are actually seen as, if not favourites, but at least equals going into this game, because they have the
semi-final.
Form. Yeah, they have the form, they have the consistency, and Leipzig are, especially away from home, a little bit hot and cold. Although Christoph Nkunku coming back and scoring in their 1-0 win at the weekend, I think will give him a huge lift, because they're a different side when he's around and playing well. He's such a fantastic player.
Rivals in the cup, rivals as well in the race for Champions League spots. Freiburg currently occupying 4th spot, level with Union Berlin. Leipzig in 5th, 2 points behind Leverkusen, who were on that charge Champions League place. They drew a blank with Union this weekend, and I think that's kind of settled that issue.
Yeah, they still have a chance, of course, to get into the Champions League via the Europa League, where they'll take on
Roma.
Ooh.
Shows us Roma, and me and James are going to Rome.
Yeah.
For nice. That game.
But not in the restaurant that James...
No.
You know,
why? What happened?
There was a disaster.
Well, Raph wasn't prepared for bad Roman service, which is...
Did you go? You've been, already been to this?
Yeah, I made a recommendation to when
never
Raph,
ask Horny again.
It was in October last year.
Right. He went with Mrs. H.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And got a disappointing experience
right.
at the restaurant I recommended.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, after 5 minutes.
It was so disappointing we didn't stay around for dinner.
Oh,
yeah, so they can't actually judge the food, which...
They didn't give you bread or something.
Let's name. I know that any Rome-bound
name
listeners will
shame.
Be keen to know.
Yeah.
Flavio ve l'avevo detto.
Oh,
Flavio
no,
ve l'avevo detto. Yeah. And the funny thing was, you had.
Yeah.
So where are you going to go this time?
Well, I don't know. I'm not listening to James again.
Not nowhere.
No, I have to.
James took us to a lovely in Milan the other day. We went to
a
lovely
pizza. There's a really good McDonald's in town.
So, well, yeah, James is very positive about Roma's chances in that game, despite Bayer's excellent form under Xavi Alonso, detailed in this podcast and others in recent
weeks.
It
should be a fantastic game.
Before we leave the Bundesliga or the world of German football, before we leave the world of German football, Rafa, tell us about the extraordinary initiative taken by Fortuna Düsseldorf in Bundesliga 2 for next season.
Yeah, they've come up with this idea that some games will be free of charge, completely free of charge, apart from the VIP tickets. They are still paying. But even the away fans, they'll be let in for free. Next season, it'll be 3 games to start with. The money that they lose is covered by sponsors. And they've also come up with a pretty ingenious way of redistributing that money. They said this is not just about getting people in for free. This is also about having different revenue streams and then using that money to... And not just support the first team, which you would usually do, but 50% of that will go back into youth football, women's football initiatives within the city, and also making the stadium more Fortuna-like because it is owned by the city and is multi-purpose and is a bit sterile and a bit neutral. And they want to make it more of a Fortuna atmosphere. And the eventual plan is to make every single home game available in 2 or 3 years' time, for free, covered by sponsors.
The reaction of the fans has been a little bit muted, I thought. Some certain amount of suspicion about, what do you mean, free tickets? What are you going to harvest our data? Or?
Yeah, I mean, the actual fans, the organized fans, have not really made a statement yet. They're cautiously welcome. They like the idea, but want to see more of the detail. Can the ultras all be together? Ah. Are they guaranteed? The kind of privileges that they have enjoyed just by virtue of always being there and always paying. But the club have said they will do that. What you're referring to was a column in El Freunde where somebody was saying, well, if clubs provide this for free, then maybe it makes it easier for them to be even more dismissive towards the needs of fans. If the fans are not an important source of revenue, maybe then they will just disregard them even more and treat them badly. But this is a theoretical problem at this point. We'll have to see how it plays out. But what it does, I think, is to put a bit of pressure on other clubs to see if either they can do something similar or maybe cut prices, or if not that, at least make sure that the needs of the fans are really being listened to and taken seriously.
Right. How much is your... I'm just thinking about the Premier League, for example, the richest league in the world, with probably the most expensive tickets as well. How much would a ticket be to Fortuna Düsseldorf?
It'd be like 30 euros, 40 euros. Not super cheap, unless you're a season ticket holder, but the average gate receipt for a game at the moment with the kind of attendances that they get is about 400 to 450,000 euros. And they get about 30,000 people. So you can work out how much every fan kind of gets them. But that, of course, includes the VIP fans. In total, it only adds up to about 8 million euros a season that they make from the stadium. So it's not huge money if you've divided by 17. But it is still about 15 to 20% of their total income, because income in the second Bundesliga isn't very high. I think they only make about 40 million euros, which is a joke by Premier League standards. So if Premier League clubs wanted to do it, they probably could, because the relevance of gate receipts keeps going down in the overall mix of income. But of course, they make a lot of money. So,
and also, like, why would they? Looking to sponsors to kind of pick up the tab, does that mean they'll be going into like crypto betting or maybe for tuna? Like, you could have, I don't know, sustainable fishing for tuna, you know.
I knew something was coming that was not going to be good.
Incredible.
Somehow I knew it.
Wow.
It's funny you mentioned the whole sponsorship thing, because just to kind of go off on a little bit of a tangent, this weekend saw two top CDS playing without sponsors because digital bits. It sounded totally legit to me. had to be some fly-by-night operation that skipped out without coughing up the 24 million euros that they were due to pay Inter. I don't know what Roma's.
Yeah, I think it's a similar agreement with Roma because they've been Roma's front of shirt sponsor for longer.
Mm.
I think they also had kiosks at the Stadio Olimpico where you could. I think Digital Bits was a blockchain. But yeah, not good, particularly as Serie A 4 or 5 years ago decided to, it had to follow the law implemented by the government that they could not publicize betting companies.
Mm.
And so they made up the shortfall in betting money by basically going all in on crypto. So if you watch Serie A, it's crypto everywhere. It's the score for Serie A is brought to you by crypto.com. And lo and behold, the crypto winter has hit Inter and Roma.
I mean, inventive as they are, they keep coming up with new revenue streams. We had this weekend, a goal scored, the match ball was immediately placed in a special black sack for socios.com collectibles.
Yeah.
Not
a fan of that. Mm. Also because what could have been the Scudetto clinching goal for Napoli, scored by Matias Oliveira, was immediately kind of, as you say, ball boy, gives it to someone else, it's put in a sack, and presumably for someone who's paying to be on that platform, they get it.
What happens if you score a hat trick and you're supposed to keep the ball?
Well, that's an interesting question, Jules. So you have to pony up for it.
But I've not seen a league.
Left a bid. I don't know.
Yeah. But I've not seen a league engage in this way that we as television viewers have to watch a ball. It's every time a match ball goes out of play, particularly at the end of a game, that it is then scooped.
Oh, is it every time it goes out? I thought it was just when a goal was scored.
I don't know exactly. I mean, I've seen it in recent games where it feels like the last kick of the game, all of a sudden the ball is taken and you get the match ball.
Right.
But yeah, I'm...
Congratulations, you win the ball from that throw-in in the 13th minute.
But again, it's something that Serie A is very proud of without perhaps being aware enough of what it looks like.
Do you have any notion of the prices they are paying for that?
No, I don't, because I don't use those kind of platforms.
We probably need to be... I'm going to look it up, Alvaro. While we're doing that...
about 5 chilies.
Yeah, it is. Read Joey Durso's great investigative reporting on Socios, and you'll find out more about why that's quite an awkward relationship.
The web is not great.
All right, well, let's move on then. Speaking of Serie A, let's touch on events there next.
This is the Totally Football Show, sponsored by LiveScore Bet. With Bet Builder from LiveScore Bet, you can combine markets from thousands of options to create your own bet on the biggest football fixtures in the Premier League, the Champions League, the EFL, and around the world. So if you think you can successfully pick the first goal scorer, the final score, the total number of corners, and whether there'll be a red card, then use Bet Builder from LiveScore Bet to make up to 6 selections and get a single bet with the combined odds. Or if you can't make up your mind, you can choose from the pre-built quick bet options. Bet Builder from LiveScore Bet. Building a bet just got easier. Find out more at livescorebet.com or by downloading the LiveScore Bet app on Android and iPhone. It's over 18s only. Full account terms apply. And of course, please bet responsibly and be gambleaware.org.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The Athletic is the only place you can read articles by Daniel Taylor, Amy Lawrence, Phil Hay, James Pearce, Ollie Kay, and the very best football writers around.
Punta Osimhen, lo salta, entra in area di rigore. Ha una conclusione a giro rete. Ha pareggiato la Salernitana. 38esimo minuto. Pia, un gol pazzesco.
Serie A, everyone. As you say, James and Napoli were nearly champions this weekend. They needed Lazio, who were in second place, to not win. Lazio took the lead in the early game Sunday away to Inter, but ended up losing 3-1. Terrific performance from Inter there, with Romelu Lukaku popping up with a couple of fine assists. So all was set then for Napoli to sweep past Salernitana and take the title. Only Paulo Sousa's Salernitana
got in the way. Yeah, and as I mentioned, they've been playing really well over the last 6 weeks. A lot of people thought Salernitana would maybe go down when they sacked great escapologist Davide Nicola. Remember, Davide Nicola had already been sacked and then sent a message pulling at the heartstrings of chairman Daniele Iervolino and got his job back, only to then be sacked properly that time. But yeah, I mean, it was quite a funny Sunday because Lazio's coach, Maurizio Sarri, obviously has his own backstory with Napoli. He had more or less the same points total as Spalletti's Napoli did at this stage of the season in 2017-18, but came up against one of the kind of all-time great Juventus teams that was still on that nine-year winning run of taking the title. And he said, look, you know, it's almost like they've laid the table for the party, but we're going to ruin the party. And when Lazio went 1-0 up at San Siro against Inter, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Sarri, he really means what he says. And then they completely collapsed and lost 3-1, which means Sarri's probably still a hero in Naples. But you just feel like the anticipation that there was in Naples all week was a big factor in the players' performance, because the prefect of Naples was so disturbed by the celebrations that followed Napoli's win in Turin against Juventus last weekend, where in the early hours of the morning, the city stayed up and went to Capo d'Aquino Airport to welcome the team back. The players were out on the roof of their bus, which was being driven through these crowds into Naples. And the prefect of Naples said, basically, look, we're going to have to move a game, which was supposed to be held on Saturday, and play it on the Sunday. And I think the players, they didn't find out until when the game was going to be played until like Saturday morning.
Seriously?
I mean, it was very late in the day. And, you know, I mean, okay, you could say they're playing against Salernitana and Napoli are so far in front of everybody else that they're so much better than a team like Salernitana. It'll be fine. They'll take care of it. But I think also from going from playing before Lazio Inter to playing after, it just raised the kind of expectation levels and pressure levels a little bit more.
Do you think? But then they played. They could have won the game. They had enough chances.
Ochoa was amazing.
He was okay.
He was amazing.
What was a great? Tell me a great save by Ochoa.
The Osimhen powerful header.
Yeah, that's a big one.
He had to do it, right?
Well, a goalkeeper has to make saves.
I don't know.
But yeah, he did his job. And he stopped them scoring more than one goal. And it's kind of... Salernitana are kind of fun. You know, they've gone from being this kind of team that Frank Ribery joined as his retirement project and then basically wanted to leave when they were going to be relegated this time last year. Mm. And then they keep finding these just random legends like Ochoa. And it's very Serie A. It's what you need from Serie A.
Mm, on brand.
So, but now Napoli have to go to Udine, which, as we've mentioned, is on the Slovenian border. It's cold. And they're trying to make this out to be romantic, you know, because Andrea Carnivale, who was part of the 1987 Scudetto winning team, is a sporting director there. Napoli's sporting director back from the 80s, that Maradona team, is the sporting director of Udinese at the moment. It's where Spalletti made his name as a coach, established himself as being one of the most promising coaches of a generation. It's where De Laurentiis, the Napoli owner, got his first win in Serie A as Napoli owner. So there are all these things that kind of make it romantic. Mm. But at the same time, they would have much preferred to win it in Naples. Mm. Yeah,
they don't have the title in the bag yet, unlike any match balls scored this weekend. Tell us, though, about the Napoli fans on Vesuvius.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't just the local authority, but environmentalists were very worried that the Scudetto celebrations were going to spread all the way to the banks of Vesuvius and that they were perhaps going to try and provoke an eruption.
Right, yeah. By throwing rocks or using fireworks inside the crater. Of
yeah, to like...
Is that how it works?
I'm not sure. I mean,
you can. There's a video I've seen of somebody throwing a rock into a crater, which basically breaks the crust, and then everything just starts because of all the pressure underneath. If you do manage to make a hole in that, boom. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be the next Pompeii.
There was a mini earthquake, wasn't it, when Oliveira scored? Wasn't it like 2 on the scale of Richter?
Yeah, on the
Richter
scale.
Yeah, the ground moved. Yeah, all around.
It's kind of mad that you would think let's provoke an eruption, given like what happened to Pompeii.
Yeah.
Yeah, another great acronym.
Over Christmas, you know, where you're just like kind of flicking through Netflix as to what to watch.
Right.
Over Christmas, I think one of the number one things on Netflix was this documentary about a tour group who'd gone to a volcanic island off New Zealand and it erupted whilst they were on it.
Maybe that was the one where they threw the rock. It might have been. Right.
Yeah. It was pretty tragic. Right. And so, I mean, I wouldn't do that.
Yep.
I wouldn't recommend you do it.
No, don't do that.
And that's exactly what the prefect of Naples and the environmentalists said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop it.
And there were some dramatic scenes. I saw those kids. Did you see those kids crying all after the draw?
Yeah.
Almost like if Napoli had lost the title, they would win the title. Mm. Is it in midweek or next weekend? But those kids were crying like if it was the end of their lives.
Yeah.
Eating the napkin like in anger and all of that. You think like, come on. Yeah. You know,
It's been a long time, George.
Yeah, no, it's a long time.
A lot of passion in that city.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, then. There you go. Midweek round of action coming up. As we mentioned, Napoli will be in Udine on Thursday. Before that, all sorts of other delights, including Monza against Roma. Sassuolo against Lazio looks quite tasty. Should mention that behind Napoli, it's so tight in the top four race. You've got Lazio in second place. A point behind them are Juventus. And then you've got Milan, Roma and Inter, who are all level on points in 4th, 5th and 6th, with Atalanta only 2 points behind. It's 4 teams, 2 points between them, fighting essentially over one spot, although a bit of an asterisk still over Juve's points total, I guess. Well, we'll come back to all of that next week, perhaps. Right now, let's move on to more Cup news.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
You're listening to The Totally Football Show with James Richardson, the Sports Podcast Awards Soccer Podcast of the Year.
And as Fabio Silva scored, wint PSV voor de 11e keer de beker. Fabio Silva! PSV wint de beker.
World Cup news in the Netherlands. PSV won the Dutch Cup with a penalty shootout victory over Ajax. Jules, did you watch this?
I did. It
You're
was great.
Where
this
did you
season,
find the time to watch for this?
When everybody's asleep in
right.
the house.
Okay.
But it's been an amazing season, to be fair, in Eredivisie. Mm. I mean, in the Netherlands overall, we Feyenoord doing great, Alkmaar doing great in Europe as well. Ajax not so good, obviously changing managers. And now Ruud van Nistelrooy winning his second title already for his first season. That one on penalties. Three takers hit the woodwork, which I don't remember seeing a penalty shootout where so many people. I mean, there was 5 misses to start with.
A crossbar challenge,
but not really the goal for the boys. But yeah, and Fabio Silva,
yes,
remember him from Wolverhampton?
Very much. So.
I think a lot of people would have not noticed that he was on loan at PSV.
No,
scoring the winning penalty. So
boom. He started the season in Belgium. Right?
The Anderlecht.
Yeah. And he wasn't too good there.
No, yeah.
Excellent.
Really good final.
All right. George, you probably also saw the cup final in France.
I did. Great. Indeed, yes. Toulouse winning their second French Cup The first one after 1957.
Because it's officially listed as their first major honour, but the Toulouse that won that previous one aren't there anymore?
It's kind of same, but not really, yeah.
Because they merged with Red Star Paris?
Not with Red Star Paris.
Oh, another Red Star.
Not really. It was, but I think that the
Toulouse, keep going, James.
Toulouse and Red Star Paris.
So how would they merge with the team in Paris?
No. And the club considered that as their first trophy.
Okay.
So
yeah. They merged with Red Bird.
Yeah.
Red Bird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Producer Charlie said to me, here we go. They disappeared 10 years. They won the 1957 French Cup, but they disappeared 10 years later in a merger with Paris side Red Star and are considered a different club. Charlie, what do you say? Yeah, okay.
Just
Jules, I have to tell you, I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Casually throwing the producer under the bus.
Jules, it says on Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia.
Yeah, it says on Wikipedia that they won the 1957 French Cup, disappeared 10 years later in a merger with Paris side Red Star and are considered a different club.
Yeah, and I think the club, consider that that French Cup is their
club. Theirs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right then. Well, tell us about this one anyway.
No, this one was great because the atmosphere was toxic. President Macron, as all the presidents do, was in attendance. And usually he says hello to all the players on the pitch before the game with the anthem,
etc. Did he say you're going to have to work another 2 years?
He didn't, but because he didn't turn up on the pitch.
Okay.
He said hello to the players in the tunnel, near the dressing room, because they were scared of the chaos and the booze and all the whistling. Outside, there were a lot of protests. People were given red cards to show during the game against the pension reform, with whistles as well. But then the security inside the stadium took all the whistles and all the red cards away. It was a big bit of a mess, to be fair. But then we had a great final because Toulouse and their young team, I mean, it was the first ever team in a cup final to play with 11 foreign players. Although Logan Costa, their centre-back, who's Paris-born and bred, now plays for Cap Verde, but had the two nationalities, French and Capverdian, but everybody else was Dutch or Belgian or Moroccan. So it was the first time ever. And Logan Costa is an interesting story because he's only played in the Cup this season. He's a young centre-back, really talented, but a bit like a goalkeeper, he's only been rotating in the Cup, and he scored two goals in the stadium almost like 2 minutes away from where he grew up in Saint-Denis.
Wow.
So great story for him. And there was just no match because they were 4-0 up at halftime to lose. They were great. Nantes have now lost the 1973 final, 1983 final, 1993 final, and 2023 final. So finals in threes is not good for them in the French Cup. And in the end, Toulouse won 5-1 and will be in the Europa League next season. Will they really or not? It depends
because
what
AC Milan are owned by the same group.
Redbird, right.
So, but we have seen that Seferin in his recent overlap, he's like, he doesn't really care, does he?
But right now, the rule is that even if Milan qualify for the Champions League or the Europa League, you can't have the two clubs in European competitions next season. So, right. And it's a very different structure to what RB Leipzig and RB Salzburg had at the time, which I think they could modify quickly. And I'm not sure Redbird Capital right now can modify any of their structure for either club quickly enough to register for Europe.
I think they can.
FC Paris can buy them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, they could merge with. So yeah, well done to Deleuze and to former Spurs and Liverpool director of football Damien Comolli, who's
put that
project together.
Yeah, a lot of database recruitment, of course. I mean, Redbird are big on that anyway for their clubs. So yeah, no, well done to them. And Philippe Montagné doing a really, really, really good job. Remember, he did really well with Real Sociedad, in Spain before. And yeah, they've been great this season to watch as well. Mm. And it's a great trophy. And the whole, like half of their stadium was all purple for their colours, of course. And then it was a big party in Toulouse. So
we're going to see another purple team in a cup final. Which is La Fiorentina.
Yeah. Jules, anything else to mention from French football in Paris this weekend?
No, I think that we're okay. We're okay. Yeah. We mentioned Kylian Mbappe's amazing goal. And
all right, then. Yeah, that happened in a 3-1 home defeat to Lorient. Is this right, Jules? That's the third defeat at home in four matches for PSG. Oh, my word. Lorient's opener. 25 passes. Yeah.
The
PSG just passed around, yeah.
And at the time, PSG was still with 11 men.
Right.
Hakimi got sent off 5 minutes later to make things worse. But Enzo Lefebvre, who we mentioned on the show, one of the best players in the league this season. He's going to move to a much bigger club. He's a wonderful player with an incredible personal story that
we mentioned. Is he Paris born and bred?
He's not. It's really
sad. But he managed to
overcome
that obstacle to make a career for himself.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he was born between Toulouse and Red Star Paris. So I'm like somewhere in the middle. But we will talk about his life another time. But yeah, great goal.
Why? I want to talk about his life.
I thought I'd mention it.
Probably so, have, just in case anyone...
Yeah, his father was a local gangster.
Oh, yeah.
Spent a lot of time in jail while Enzo was growing up in Brittany, in Lorient. And I think there was a sense for Enzo Lefebvre to make it as a pro. He didn't know what would happen with his dad, just to look after the rest of the family. The dad came out of prison when I think Enzo was 18 or 19, maybe, and stayed out for 2 years and then committed suicide.
Clearly,
yeah, so Enzo Lefebvre is an incredible talent, comes with a lot of baggage. And to be fair, he's dealt really well with all the drama in his life, even before turning pro. And I really wish him he's a really, really good kid, and he's an amazing talent to start with anyway, football. And that goal, I think, which showed the Lorient way of playing, which they've been great for most of the season, was well deserved for him for the season that he's been having and after all those issues too.
Do they have any fish collaborations as their sponsors, Jules? They are the Merlu, no?
The Merlu, yeah. Any play on word like tuna? No with Merlu.
Not tricky.
Cod.
What's Merlu? Yeah, cod is cod.
Yeah, Merlu.
Yeah.
The Codfather.
Yeah. What is that? Yeah. Oh my God.
Is that not his nickname?
Probably not. But he did manage to end up in the net or something. I don't know.
Let's
talk about let's talk about the title race, Jules.
Yeah,
because Marseille beat Auxerre 2-1. They're now 5 points behind again with five games to play.
It's a bit nervous in Paris right
is
now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that because Conte's on holiday there?
So, I don't know.
It's a strange place to have holidays.
Messi's in Arabia.
Yeah, Messi's not there, that's for sure. Because he's in Saudi Arabia and he was not allowed.
Messi's in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. Oh. And that's the big controversy at the moment. So let's just finish with the title race. I mean, the Marseille guy is in free fall completely. He's going to get sacked. He can't be there next season. I even wish he was not there until the end of the season now. Because it's just chaos and there's just nothing in the game. It's an embarrassment, to be fair. The game was embarrassing. The whole thing was an embarrassment. He's embarrassing me, the Marseille guy. And it's true, you're laughing, but it's not nice. I mean, we were watching, even my little girl, she was watching. She was like, are we really losing this game? And I was like, yeah, we are.
She wasn't eating a handkerchief, she was.
No, she wasn't, but she wasn't crying because I said to her, listen, hopefully 5 points, it should be enough, five games to go. But I'm not so sure with that team anymore because they just don't play as a football team. This is not a football team. This is just like 11 guys who are on the pitch, not knowing what to do on Sunday afternoon, say, hey, why don't we turn up to the game? So, you know, it was really pathetic on Sunday. The ultras were not there because the stand was closed as a sanction. So they turned up at the training ground on Monday, had all those banners who you can just imagine putting pressure on the players. And Messi wasn't there because Messi should have been there. He was training. But he was in Saudi Arabia, as we know, he's an ambassador for the country. And he said that he asked for permission. The club said that he was not given permission to not be at training on Monday.
Kylian Mbappe?
Well, no, that's the thing. Because some of the players were not happy that he obviously didn't turn up for training. So Tuesday, today was always a day off. But Monday was going to be a day off in case there was a win against Lorient, which obviously didn't happen. So there was a warm down training session. And Messi didn't turn up. He said he could not postpone again, the trip that is already postponed twice. So
it's understandable.
Yeah. But did you know Saudi Arabia is this green? That was his tweet. Like talking about, I think, some of the forest. You wouldn't expect.
I mean, you would associate Saudi Arabia and forest.
You would.
Yeah.
You would, really.
The wood.
Well, I do now.
Yeah, you do now. And I guess he had to go there on Monday when he was supposed to be at work. He had to go to see by himself the forest.
The amount of things that he got away with in Barcelona that he doesn't get away with in PSG because the players are not happy with Messi not turning up. In Barcelona, no player was saying anything about Messi missing trainings after training sessions.
I just think
where's he going to be missing training next season, Jules?
I don't know. I mean, I tell you the great idea that the Marseille guy had last week. I mean, considering this is still a title race, I know they were 8 points clear before the weekend and now it's down to five. But he gave them 4 days off. Well, I mean, who gives 4 days off to his team at this stage of the season? No, they're the only club in the world. He's the only manager in the world to do right. that. So, in a way, you turn up after a game on Sunday and there's no intensity. I mean, not that there's been much intensity before in the season anyway, but there's nothing happening. But you've just given them 4 days off. They all went to a different part of the world on holidays, basically.
Yeah. The other thing, like, in terms of PSG state of mind, I like look at Juventus. Over the last few weeks, you've had, like, Paredes have a massive yeah. kind of bust up with Allegri in the training ground. He's on loan from PSG.
He's going to come back, yeah.
You've got Thank Di Maria, you. who's joined. He's sort of, I've hurt my ankle. Oh, I'm not in the starting 11. Okay, I'm not going to play then. Just leave me out of the squad.
But at least he's not coming back, this one.
He's not coming back, but it's just like, these players, they act like they can just sort of do whatever they want, which seems to me, it's like, well, if you've been enabled in the way that these players have at PSG.
Yeah, but you get the feeling as well that they hit a target in December, some of these players too. Di Maria, for example, or Messi. I mean, winning the World Cup for them was everything. Yeah. And after that, some of them have slack off a little bit. I mean, we can say it like this.
Yeah. But but it should not be happening.
No, of course.
I guess the only silver lining, just to finish, is that Marseille and Lens play each other on Saturday in the big game, so they will take points
Second
off each other.
Second v third.
So hopefully PSG will be 3. I mean, come on, if on Sunday nights. And then that gap between them and Marseille or Lens could be a bit bigger, but I don't even know anymore. Like, this is, I'm tense. You don't see it, but I'm tense.
Right. Who's next for PSG after Galtier?
It's a good question. Zidane is still the dream, of course, especially if Juve don't change managers, because I think Zinedine was kind of hoping at some point that maybe Allegri would get the sack and then he would be on a short list with maybe Igor Tudor and maybe a couple others, but that he might be his chance. So Zidane is still the one I think they dream of. But it's not going to be easy to convince him. I mean, he was not convinced before. What would he be convinced now?
Jose?
Conte? I think Luis Enrique has
Conte a few fans. PSG, I would love to see that.
I mean, that would be popcorn. That would be absolutely box office.
Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned. Next up on this show, let's catch up with events in La Liga.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You're listening to The Totally Football Show with James Richardson, sponsored by LiveScore Bet. You can get the latest football betting odds at LiveScoreBet.com. It's over 18s only. Please bet responsibly and be gambleaware.org.
Alvaro, in La Liga, drama at both ends of the table. Drama at the top end, mainly because Barcelona, will they ever concede again?
That's a very good question. If they play outside of Spain, they will concede I think, because this has been the pattern. But no, in Spain, the truth is that, especially at Camp Nou, they have been phenomenal defensively. I think that we have explained the reasons why, Ter Stegen, the defense, Araujo, the misses of some opponents as well. But in this game against Betis, I think that this can be explained differently. I mean, Betis got the player sent off in the first half, Edgar, and after that, Barcelona played very easily. They won 4-0. They only need 8 points out of 18 to win La Liga title, and if Real Madrid happens to lose or drop points at Anoeta against Real Sociedad on Wednesday evening, Barcelona can be La Liga champion against Espanyol at Cornellà, which would be like a very satisfying for many Barcelona fans, just winning the league there. But against Osasuna, against Betis, sorry, the big news is that Yamin Lamal played his first game for Barcelona. He's 15 years old. He was born on the 13th of June, 2007.
Wow.
And he's, just to put some perspective, 5 years younger than Ansu Fati, 5 years younger than Pedri. And we're talking about these guys as guys who were about or capable of winning the Golden Boy just a year ago. Right. So yeah, he's very young. He's been playing for Barcelona youth ranks for a few years now, and he's been always playing with guys who were a year or 2 years older than him, because his talent is so big that he was too good for his own category.
Right. Over the years, we've had a lot, especially since Messi, of course, we've had a lot of these young phenomena coming through.
Plenty.
Bojan Krkic and then
Giovanni Dos Santos.
Exactly. Do you have the feeling at all that there's anything more kind of generational about Lamine Yamal?
It's too early to say, sorry. I'm going to give you the textbook answer here. Right. Because, for example, today we're reading The Athletic, and there was a story about Charlie Patino, for example, who is maybe leaving Arsenal, because you see so many youngsters like Ansu Fati the other day, for example, not being able to play good against Betis, but he had a very bad season. Jesse, another example that comes to my mind, and so many Barcelona youngsters that didn't actually make it to the first team squad. Guy Azulín, for example, the guy from Israel, Giovanni Dos Santos, Jonathan Dos Santos, so many.
Gerard De Lofeo,
another
legend.
Best
player outside the top six in Serie A when he's fit.
He was phenomenal. He's fantastic.
He's amazing.
He's really good. And he was very good for Watford when he played there. But I was going to talk about De Lofeo, actually, and some others, because the difference between De Lofeo, maybe Bojan, definitely Ricky, who is in America already, is that...
Ricky Puch.
That man. The difference with Lamal, Fati, Gavi, and all these guys is that now they are in a Barcelona which is pretty much bankrupt.
Right.
So from 2011 until 2019, no player from the academy established himself in the first team squad, apart from Sergi Roberto. From 2019 onwards, like 3 or 4 have settled, Alejandro Valdés as well. And the reason why is because Barcelona doesn't sign anymore. In the past, they used the likes of Thiago Alcántara, De Lofeu, and many others just to transfer them and to make some money to pay the big salaries to the other guys. Now they really need the academy, and that's the reason why Yamin Lamal played the other day.
Okay.
I'm sure that he's very good.
He almost scored.
He should. He gave a lovely pass as well in an attacking action. The ball went to Dembélé, and Dembélé couldn't pass it back to another player, but he was about to give a pre-assist. So he was good, but let's wait a little bit.
A lot of excitement because he was on the field at the same time as Betis' Joaquin, who's 41 years of age.
Yeah, he picked an injury, unfortunately. Oh. So let's see.
Got a big round of applause, though, from the Barcelona fans.
And many fans were there at the ground just with messages for Joaquin, some of them asking for the dessert to Joaquin, because in Barcelona there are many...
Socios.com.
To sell it afterwards.
Absolutely.
Because in Barcelona there are many people who... in Catalonia there are many people who come originally from Andalucía as well. So there is a big, I would say, Betis fan base in Barcelona too.
Okay.
But let's see if Joaquin plays one more game in La Liga. This is my big question right now, because he picked a knee injury. He got like he torn it a little bit. And I think that it's just a minor injury. But when you are 41, 42, you know, the recovery times are way longer.
Tell me about it. So on that Barcelona clean sheet business, meanwhile, the record for the fewest goals conceded in a La Liga 20-team season is 18.
Atletico.
They're going to beat that.
Barcelona have only conceded 11 goals so far, 6 games to go. Will they ship 7? We shall see. Now, meantime, loads of goals elsewhere. We've been talking recently about the lack of goals in La Liga, but big scores. Atletico Madrid beating Valladolid 5-2. Real Madrid beating Almeria 4-2.
Karim the Dream.
And Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Karim scored 3 goals, and he is going to fight for the Pichichi with Lewandowski. It looked impossible. I mean, it looked like it was not going to happen. But they are up there, both of them. But Rodrigo, what he did in one of Benzema's goals was beautiful, because the ball was just pretty much going out. It looked like it was going to be a goal kick, and the defender from Almeria decided to chase Rodrigo. Rodrigo stepped on the ball, he hit it a little bit with the back heel, enough to leave the defender behind with a lovely trick, and then he passed the ball to Benzema. I mean, this guy is a magician as well, and his numbers are improving. I mean, his development has been slower than Vinicius, because Vinicius is more explosive, but Rodrigo's, you know, technique, delicate football as well, little by little, is getting there.
Magnificent. Down at the other end, Alvaro, the relegation battle being billed as La Liga's best ever, or tensest relegation battle ever, would you say? You've got, what, six teams in four points, battling to avoid two spots. Elche gone. Next in line, in 19th place, are Getafe, who've made a decisive move to try and beat the drop.
Well, Getafe did it because they sacked the manager, Quique Sánchez Flores. Quique Sánchez Flores wasn't happy with the sporting direction and Ramon Planes, and apparently there was no communication. Not apparently, there was no communication between Quique and the sporting direction. He left. Some players were unhappy about it, but some players were also unhappy that Bordalás came back again.
So,
Bordalás was the manager of Getafe a couple of years ago. He took Getafe to some heights that we haven't seen since Bernd Schuster was the manager of Getafe back in 2008. But of course, Bordalás football comes at the expense of something, at the expense of your creativity, if you're a creative player, at the expense of even your reputation, because normally Getafe players, they have to play cynically when they play for Bordalás. This week already, Getafe did over 20 faults in the game. This is textbook Bordalás style. And, you know, even Bordalás was reluctant to go to Getafe. He waited, waited and waited, and on Friday he wasn't too sure about signing or not, because he knew that after closing the first stage with Getafe, he was set for higher things, you know, better things. And he went to Valencia. He went well there. He took them, Valencia, to the cup final, but he hasn't had a club ever since. And then Ángel Torres, the president of Getafe, who is a personal friend of his, called him, and I think that Bordalás did also this as a nice gesture to Getafe, but maybe in his mind a couple of years ago he thought he would be, you know, coaching a better side at this stage of his career.
All right, they are in penultimate spot. They are level with Espanyol, one of the big clubs down there, on 31 points, and 2 points ahead of them, just outside the relegation zone at the moment, are Valencia, who continue to look at, well,
they lost to Cadiz, and that that was a very poor thing, because that was one of the games in which they should have collected points.
Right. Not long to wait to see what happens next, because we got midweek action in La Liga 2.
Absolutely. Álvaro. Yeah. I think that Valencia-Villarreal is one of the cool games in there, a regional derby. Valencia playing for their lives. Villarreal still setting their eyes in the Champions League fourth spot. So I'm really looking forward to watching that game, really. And of course, Real Sociedad, Real Madrid. Ooh. If Real Madrid drops points, then Barcelona can be the champion on the 14th of May in two games' time.
All right, that's coming up midweek. Jules, what should we look out for in France?
Lens against Marseille, really, Saturday night. It's box office. The stadium is going to be amazing. The atmosphere, and they're the two best teams in Ligue 1. So it should be very, very fun to watch.
Very generous of you. Rafa, what's coming up in the Bundesliga?
So we got that Freiburg-Leipzig game that we talked about.
Tuesday night.
And Dortmund have Wolfsburg. Trip to Wolfsburg. That's going to be pretty tough. And Bayern go to Bremen on Saturday night. That's going to be pretty interesting.
Very nice.
So this week, switches again.
Yes.
Bayern playing first, Dortmund second. So let's see.
Wow. We'll see next Tuesday what's happened there. And James?
Well, there's not a standout fixture in Serie A, but it's a few with a lot riding on. I mean, Atalanta Spezia, for example. Atalanta now just 2 points from the Champions League places. Spezia have been sucked into the relegation battle. Verona are very much in form in the bottom three, and they play.
This is midweek.
Inter. This is midweek.
Right. There's also Monza Roma.
Yeah. There's Monza Roma.
Next weekend is sexy, though, no?
Next weekend is sexy, but we'll get to that next week.
Especially if you're a Monza player.
Well, Monza, in their first ever season in Serie A, wrapped up survival with six games to spare at the weekend.
So while Spezia are getting sucked in, Monza are getting...
That's one way of looking at it. And Galliani, the chief executive, he dedicated survival to Silvio Berlusconi. Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, well, it's getting to, you know, the real drama, you know. Real drama at the end of the season. Yeah. Fabulous stuff. Thank you so much for today, everybody. Look forward to getting together next Tuesday, when, of course, we'll also have
Champions
the
League.
Semi-finals in Champions League, Europa League, and Conference League. So, wow, that's going to be a busy show. Make sure you join us for that, listener. Have yourself a great week in the meanwhile, and we'll be speaking to you then. For now, cheerio.
You've been listening to The Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Discover bonus video content by searching for The Totally Football Show on YouTube and see the very latest subscription offers at theathletic.com/totally. The Totally Football Show is an Athletic Media Company production and sponsored by LiveScoreBet. Get the latest football betting odds at livescorebet.com. It's over 18s only. Please bet responsibly and be gambleaware.org.
The Athletic.